This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, where he also directs UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, The Year of Obama, is now in paperback. We want to get Larry's thoughts today on White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs admitting over the weekend that Democrats do in fact feel that the Republicans could take back the House of Representatives in this year's midterm elections. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Nice to be with you as always.
Let's start with your crystal ball predictions. I know you update these regularly. Right now, what kind of Republican gains are you seeing?
I see very substantial Republican gains. And if you want to see the long-term trend, consider this. When we started this election cycle in January 2009, the crystal ball projected Republican gains of about 12 to 15 seats. Well, at our last count a few weeks ago, we were plus 32 to plus 39 Republican seats. And, of course, it takes exactly 39 to switch the House. And at the time we did it, it was June. The election's November 2nd. So either something interrupts the trend, that is, new and positive economic statistics in September and October, or to the contrary, the trend continues and maybe even accelerates. And then, of course, Republican House with a decent margin will probably be the result.
What's the biggest reason, Larry, for a jump of 12 to 15 potential takeover seats to perhaps as many as close to 40?
The continuing bad economy. All of the other controversies involving Obama and his administration are minimal by comparison to the economy. People perhaps were oversold the stimulus and TARP and all the rest of it, and they were told that if they made this kind of economic sacrifice and they had that kind of big spending, that the economy would bounce back. Of course, the administration says it would be worse if we hadn't passed it. But, you know, that's a terrible campaign slogan. It would be worse if we weren't in power.
Right.
So I don't think that's going to sell, and it isn't selling. And as a result, you're seeing substantial Republican gains, not just in the House, but also in the Senate, among governors, and I think eventually in the state legislative positions that are on the ballot November 2nd.
And that can be very significant as well. We'll get to that in just a moment. Larry, in terms of reversing the trend, if you're the Democrats here, you can't really change the direction of economy overnight. Are they running out of time to put some good news on the board?
That's exactly what's happened, and that's one reason, among many, why the press secretary, Robert Gibbs, said what he said over the weekend. He's alerting people, alerting the base to the possibility of what's going to happen, maybe lowering expectations for his own party. And if it happens, if the Republicans take over the House, then they can say, well, we said that might happen in July. I don't know that that makes it any less of a blow to the administration, but they can at least say they had some predictive power. So again, for anybody who's been following the elections, that wasn't exactly a revelation.
The argument so far seems to be, in addition to what you said before, it would be worse if we didn't do this agenda. Republicans are the party of the status quo. They are beholden to the big interests and so forth. With the laser lock that you described on jobs and the state of the economy, will anything like that hold? I guess it depends race to race, but overall, what's the likelihood of that being convincing to voters?
Not great. Look at the history of midterm elections. Look, in midterm elections, the people who vote, and it is a much lower turnout than in a presidential election, the people who vote in a midterm election are generally those that are unhappy with the drift of the country for one reason or another. And when you have a bad economy, you don't have to look for a second reason. Unemployment is still at 9.5%. I just can't imagine Democrats doing it all well if unemployment doesn't fall below 9, and there isn't a single analyst who thinks that it will.
Larry, one of the things we've seen in a very interesting primary season for both Republicans and Democrats is, of course, the influence of the Tea Party and some of their candidates winning nominations over the so-called establishment choices. And again, this kind of depends on race to race. But do Democrats see themselves potentially losing fewer seats as a result of candidates they see as more out on the fringe? Or are the tea leaves so far against them that it may not matter if a candidate for the Republican Party is less mainstream?
I'm starting to think it's more the latter. Obviously, Democrats say Thank goodness the Republicans have nominated Rand Paul for the Senate in Kentucky and Sharon Angle for the Senate in Nevada and other Tea Party candidates around the country for Senate and House, because we'll be able to beat them. But you see, if the tide is strong enough and if the wave is high enough for Republicans, then even their weaker candidates are elected. That's always true with the wave, whether the wave is benefiting Democrats or Republicans. It's the weak candidates who are the surprises and give the party the margin that it needs for control. Of course, eventually, in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or whatever it is, they're the first ones to lose.
Larry, if you're a vulnerable incumbent, House or Senate, do you want the president standing next to you in the final weeks of the campaign?
If you're from a deep blue state and you really need the money, the answer is yes. If you're from a red Republican state or even a purple mixed competitive district, I think the answer is no. You might want to tell the president to send the money and make it a money order check that can be cashed without tracing.
What about Republicans? What do they need to keep their eye on in terms of making sure that this opportunity that seems to be playing itself out for them doesn't slip away? You've got a chairman of the party, which has a tendency to put his foot in the mouth from time to time. Then, of course, we talked about the Tea Party influence here. What's the Republican game plan going forward?
Well, they talk about proposing an agenda, and I know they're thinking about 1994 and the contract with America, but frankly, if they win, their contract is not going to go through this time, just as much of it didn't go through the last time. I think even less of it will go through this time because you're simply going to have almost everything vetoed by the White House. Second, they need to be very concerned that their committee chairman, their leadership, and some of these new candidates stick to the program. Look, everybody says they like frankness, they like bluntness, but they really don't. The media will focus on every jot and tittle of a gaffe, and it will go on forever, and it can really cost a party. So you want people to stick to the script. And if they can't stick to the script, then you want them to stay silent.
Message to Joe Barton, I guess, is in there among some other people.
Among others.
Real quickly, Larry, you mentioned the Senate was looking more and more promising for the GOP as well. I know the last time we talked, you thought the GOP ceiling was a pickup of about 7. Is that still accurate, or is it looking even higher?
Well, look, they have expanded the playing field, and you've got states like Wisconsin and Washington and possibly others that are now at least competitive, so that if there is a big wave, they can take advantage of it. I don't think currently that they would be favored to take the Senate, and I don't know anybody really in the Republican Party who would say that either. But they at least have the possibility to expand beyond the 6 or 7 seats that they're likely to win. Given the way the Senate works, I don't know that it matters all that much. You know, once you get a party down to 51, 52, 53 seats, they're just not going to be able to do very much. Those are the rules of the Senate. You need 60 votes too often to do anything, and when you've got a big, energized minority of 46, 47 senators, they're going to shut down the place. They can't run the place, but they're able to shut down the place.
Very interesting. Larry, I'm sure we'll be talking frequently between now and the first Tuesday in November. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Larry Sabatow teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He's the director of UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, now available in paperback, is The Year of Obama. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.